Well, I almost decided to call tonight's message the same as this morning's part two, but we're going to go a little bit farther, actually. Open up again to Hebrews chapter 8. See, we truly are in a better covenant, established on better promises. And I have heard that and preached that for all these years, since 1980, since I really got saved and spirit-filled. And I know you have too. But it seems like in this season, these truths that I've known I could speak with my mouth, they're just an understanding that we're coming into that we did not have before. Oh, I want to give you another update. On the way home today, there was a message on my phone from another minister, a pastor that I've known for years. And he's in the Detroit area. And he just said, I just want to let you know that I've been feeding on all these healing messages that you've been teaching this year. He says, I don't have time right now, but I says, I can give you five manifested healings that we have had in my church that I don't think we would have had it not been for the teachings. If we had not been feeding on the teachings. Well, it's his word. Amen. It's all him. But isn't that great? So it's starting to have an impact now, see, all around the world, because it's for the believers. It's always, from God's point of view, this is the way it was always supposed to be. And it doesn't matter if you just fought your way through a sinus infection or anything else. It doesn't matter. I mean, the enemy's not going to quit, but neither are we. See, that's the thing. Neither are we. And we're coming to the place quickly where we're going to manifest that dominion that he's given us, not only in our own bodies, but everywhere that we go. Because that's what he did. He gave us power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Say it with me. He has given me power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. I am a spiritual machine. Everywhere I go, in his name, I cast out devils. In his name, I command sickness to go, and it goes. It does not have a choice. Amen. See? Now we're striving for that bar. That is the bar that Jesus set. The church lowered it way down. We're putting it back up where it belongs. We're going there. It's not coming here. Amen? All right. Did you find Romans 8? Now, as I've been teaching on this recently, I have been starting usually in verse 8. But Hebrews. Yeah, you had it right the first time. I'm sorry. Hebrews. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Doug did that to us this morning. Did he? Open to Matthew 8. No, yeah, Matthew 4, and he read out of Mark 4. But anyway, we love our Doug. That was good. I got refreshed. I thought it was great. Anyway, I've been starting here in Hebrews 8:8, but let's back up just a little bit. Let's start in verse 6. But now hath he, and that's talking about Jesus, now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. Well, stop. More excellent than what? If you read the previous chapters leading up to this, what the writer of Hebrews is doing is showing the superiority of Jesus over the law. And right now, in this part, he's showing the superiority of the high priestly ministry of Jesus over the Levitical priesthood under the law. So that's what's under discussion. So in verse 6, he says, but now hath he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he, Jesus, is the mediator, now get this, of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now, I want you to notice verse 7. In my Bible, the word covenant is in italics. That word is not in the original Greek. You need to scratch it out. Now, they were trying to help us, but they messed up. Because if 7 is correct, then 8 is not correct. Because in verse 7, it says the covenant had a fault. But in verse 8, it says, for finding fault with them. Well, now, which is it? Was it the covenant or was it them? Well, since covenant in verse 7 is italics, it's not in the original language, draw a line through it. There's nothing wrong with God's law. There was nothing wrong with his covenant. God's word is good. The flaw was not in his word. the flaw was in them, which Mary helped us so much show this morning, the difference between the two. She was our Romans 7 person who received the law. She loved God. She wasn't like the Romans 1 person that didn't want to hear him, didn't want to obey God. She wanted to obey God. She had the law. She had the understanding of it. She would set her mind to do the law, like the guy in Romans 7. But she had no capacity to keep it. And that was one of the main purposes of the law, was to show man, there's something wrong with you at your core. We all know there's something wrong with it. But you're flawed at your core. It's something deeper than your willpower. You can set your will and set your will and set your will, but there's a flaw in man. All man. What is that flaw? You were born with a sin nature. And it's deeper in you than your will. It's deeper in you than your mind. So the conclusion of the Romans 7 person who has received the law but has no nature to keep it says, with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, you know, in my body, I serve the law of sin. And that's the way it pretty much is for every person until they get born again. Okay, present a pretty good summary. So, again, so when he says a better covenant, which was established on better promises. I guess I should read it first and then teach. So let's read a little ways. So scratch out, I need to do it in this Bible. I keep buying new Bibles and I have to re-scratch out words. For if that first had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second, for finding fault with them. And see, that's not in italics. That's where the fault was. Finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because now here's the flaw, they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, let's just stop for a moment. What is that first covenant? Well, you can go back and read it. It's, here's my law. I like to do it for teaching. Mary, come back up here a minute. Since they saw you this morning, it'll help. We don't have our world sinners here. So she's the Romans 7 person. God, I love you. I see your law. I agree that it's holy and righteous and good. I want to keep it. I set my mind to keep it. But every time the good that I want to do, I don't really wind up doing that. And I'm never going to do that evil thing again. I'm never going to do it. You know, with my mind, I'm serving you, God. With my mind, I'm serving you. But after a little while, oh, man, you know, there it is. And for hundreds of years, it wasn't just the Jew. They were the example to the whole world. There's a flaw in man. It's deeper than your willpower. It's deeper than your mind. So the first covenant, that's what I started to say, was this. And I hope for those that can't see me, my lovely Mary is standing here. And I'm God. And here's the first covenant. And I've got my Bible here representing the law. I go, here's the first covenant. You keep my law, and then I will be God to you. Isn't that it? Okay, that's the law. So she tries, she keeps failing. Kill another sheep. kill a sheep. Another year comes by, high priest goes in, kills. Thank God, kill another sheep. This goes on forever, and God's looking at this, and he's going, all right, man cannot fix himself. We need a better covenant that is established upon better promises. Okay, now stay right here. So God's looking at this situation, and he's going, I'm going to make a new covenant. Now, starting in verse 9 again, I'm not going to make it according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Now, notice, instead, the first covenant starts off with, you keep my law. Notice this covenant starts off with, God's going, I'm going to fix this problem myself. So he sends his son, first off, see, because God says, I will in no wise clear the guilty. You understand? God is love. One of his other attributes is justice. Isn't that right? God will in no wise clear the guilty. Somebody had to pay. If it's not going to be Mary, who could pay? His son Jesus, who never sinned, not even one time. Perfect score, perfect holiness. And he is the Lamb offered to forgive Mary and really everybody. All the sons of Adam and daughters of Adam. Amen? Amen? But see, if that was the end of it, if that's what's all there was, she would be forgiven, but she would not be changed. She'd be forgiven, but she'd still be that same old creature with the sin nature. She'd still have that same flaw. So God even went farther than that. He says, no, my son is going to pay the price for you, Mary. But then once he's resurrected, we're going to make it possible. Did you see that? Remember, I did a message recently called The Road-Tested Life. And it's almost like God's going, Mary, did you see my son Jesus? Do you see how he walked sin free? You see how he fought the devil and won? You see how he had dominion over sin and every devil and sickness? Did you see that? He road-tested this life for you. You know what I'm going to do for you? The life that was in him, I'm going to put it in you.
Glory
to God. Whoa. Now, would that be a better covenant? Established upon better promises? So this covenant, it doesn't start off with you keep the law. He says, no, I'm going to fix this problem myself. This flaw that's in man, I'm going to fix it myself. I'm going to send my son. He's going to pay the price. I'm not going to clear the guilty. He will pay. He will pay, Mary. Sorry. It's been over 30 years and I'm still astounded at his grace, you know. He's going to pay the price. But more than that, that life that was in him, if you'll receive him, that same life, Mary. I'm going to write with that nature, with that life, when that happens, I will write my law in your mind. I will write my law in your heart. No one will even have to teach you anymore what's right and wrong, Mary. You will know it by your nature. No one will have to come and teach you about me. Is he good? You'll know it by your nature. Now, remember this morning she was surrounded by the world? That's everybody that gets born again. They become a new creature in Christ. They are not even of the species of the world. If you can picture again the Coates family standing around behind her. Everybody's that way when you first get saved. You're in the world. But no, you're no longer of the world. Now, go ahead and stay right here. Go ahead and go to 2 Corinthians 6 now. And he's really talking here about the specific sin of fornication, but it applies to everything. It applies to all sin. Because what God did, see, under the old, that old covenant, man was still a slave to unrighteousness, a slave to sin. And no matter how hard your mind set your will against it, you'd wind up doing it again because that's who you were at your core. Man couldn't fix that. God had to fix that. And that's what we call grace. But see, the modern grace, radical grace message, they're saying his grace allows you to stay in that sin. And the whole point was his grace was to free you from the sin. That's the gospel, to free you from it. So in 2 Corinthians 6, we'll start. Let's start right here. He says, verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, wherefore, this is the first time we come to a you. Up until now, my son will pay the price. My son will become sin so that you can become righteousness. By my grace, I'm going to take out that old stony heart. If we had time, I'd go back to the prophets, the Old Testament. They're going to take out that old stony heart. And I'm going to put a heart of flesh on the inside of you. And if that's not enough, I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of you. He's doing all that by grace. And this is the first time we come to a you. Now, Mary, you used to be. Remember how you used to be, Mary?
Yes.
You wanted to keep my law.
Yes.
You wanted to. Now, picture her standing right over here like she was this morning. Picture the world. I want to stand out here like I was this morning. Okay, Mary used to, you really couldn't come out of the world because you had the nature of the world in you. But Mary, if you can believe it, what I did for you, this better covenant established on better promises, Mary, it's up to you now. You're not a slave anymore. You can come out. You may have to let go of some things. There may be some things of the world that your soul is really attached to. Remember when it says in James, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your what? Soul. My soul was greatly attached to bad company. It was greatly attached to some other things too, which there's none of your business. Okay? But see, every one of those is your choice. Now that's the message tonight. See, Mary, holiness is your choice now. It really wasn't before. But it is now. I did all that for you by grace. So that now, Mary, I fixed, can I say it this way? God's saying, I fixed the flaw. The flaw is not there anymore. No matter what other preachers tell you, that you're still that same old sinner, you're not, Mary. You're a new creature. You're righteous at your core. I made you that way. The same life that was in him, I've put in you now. Mary, now it's up to you. You want to take a step toward me? What about that album? What about that music that you love? Oh, that's gone. All right, take another step toward me. Well, what about that kind of movie? No, that's gone. Okay.
It's gone.
Okay. You see tough ones. What about selfish ambition?
It's gone.
You're going to do what I say?
Yes.
Okay, well, come then. And if you'll come, he says, if you'll come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Did you see it there in 2 Corinthians? I've got it right here. He says, wherefore come out from among them. The thing of it is, tonight's lesson, it's your choice. What you could not do before, you're not a Roman 7 person anymore. It's your choice now. He says, that's why he says, now wherefore, because of everything I did, come out from among them. Be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now see, before he said, I'll be God to you. But now, if you choose holiness, he says, I'll be a father to you. I'll be a father to you. Isn't that good stuff? Thank you. Give her a hand again. Go ahead and turn to Romans 6. Really Romans, not Hebrews this time. See, this is the doctrine that was delivered to the early church. Isn't it sad that 2,000 years later we've almost had to rediscover it? Isn't it sad that we have to do it again? Because the devil he's relentless, you know. And he gets false doctrine into the mouths of well-meaning preachers. They're not trying to hurt you, but they're just flat wrong. I thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson getting us all to pray in the Holy Ghost and assimilate his word so the Holy Ghost could straighten us out. But he only straightens us back out to what he established in the first place. And that's why here in Romans 6 says, I'm trying to find a starting place. It's not verse 1. Okay. Verse 12. See, now this is, if I had Mary still up here, now he can say to Mary, let not sin reign in your mortal body, Mary. And you know the thing of it is? She has that choice now. Under the old covenant, she didn't really have that choice. She could try, but she's not going to be successful for hundreds of years. Nobody could keep it. Nobody. Why? They didn't have a nature to keep it. God fixed that problem. But now he says, let not sin therefore reign. Don't let it rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members. And remember, it's your choice now. You don't have to yield to your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. See, you're a new creature. And your members, hold out your right hand. Kind of do this. For those that can't, I'm kind of just moving my fingers. See, your body's now, as far as God's concerned, your body, from heaven's perspective, is an instrument of righteousness. It's a weapon of war. You are a weapon of holiness, going somewhere to happen. And you can make that even in your body. Notice it says, your members as instruments of righteousness. Whew. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It sure used to. If we went back to Romans 5, he's talking about, and death reigned through sin. And I always go, how much did death reign? 100%. Much more, though, those that receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, they shall reign in life, not in heaven, in life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? See, you're a new creature. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. You're not under that system. When it says you're under grace, that's the new covenant. He has empowered you now from the inside out. It's your choice whether to yield your body to sin or yield your body to righteousness every time. It's your choice. Well, what then? Shall we sin because we're under the, not because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. There should be an exclamation point right there. God forbid. Now get this. See, now this is the better covenant. Know you not that to whom you yield. Do you see that? It's your choice. To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. When he says obedience, what does he mean? Obedience to the new nature. Your new nature is Christ in you. It is holy and righteous from the get-go. It knows 100% right from wrong every single time. And now I like how Nathan says it, if you can hear it, you can obey it. Because if you can't hear it, you don't have it. But if you can hear it, you have it. And that means you've got that road-tested life on the inside of you. Isn't that right? So if you can hear it, you have it. Now it's up to you whether to obey. If you obey, you're going to walk holy and clean and righteous before Him. If you don't, you're not. In verse 17... But God be thanked that you were, boy, past tense, before you got saved, you were the servant, and that's the word doulos, it means slave. You were the slave of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Boy, what doctrine was that? Being then made free from sin. That's the doctrine. That's what was delivered to the early church. That's what Jude says. We need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once first delivered to the church. He said these men have come in unawares. And they're actually denying, they're saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're converting believers to lasciviousness. They're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is the opposite of what God did by His grace. By His grace, He empowered you to walk free from lasciviousness and to walk holiness. And now you have, it's your choice. Don't ever get it wrong again. Dave was right 20 years ago teaching us on the born again trail. Nathan's been right teaching it. If you're sinning as a believer, it's because you are making the choice to do it. You are making the choice to do it. And all of your excuses will never fly. I was too weak. No, you weren't. I'm not strong enough. Yes, you are. You're going to stand in front of Jesus on that day and say, you didn't give me enough? Is that the life you gave? I must have got an inferior package. My package got damaged in the mail. The life that I received was not that same road-tested life that Jesus had. I'll never forget the first time I heard Dave say this. That was my opportunity to leave the church. One of the early opportunities. Because he was saying we'd like to think that Paul received just a little bit more when he got saved. You know, good Lord, look at what he endured and how he stayed steadfast. And you know, that was bad enough. You know, he said, no, you received exactly the same life that the Apostle Paul received. And that was hard enough on Gary. But then later he ratcheted it up even higher. He said, we'd sure like to think you received something more than Jesus. See how quiet it gets? But the Bible says in Romans 8:11, I believe, no, that same life that raised Him from the dead, the life that was imparted to Him, that quickened Him from death to life, that is the same life that quickened you. Amen. Same life. Meaning, if He could walk sin free, so can you. I still love that message. Go there to listen to it again, the road-tested life. You want to see the life that's on the inside of you? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at Jesus. He road tested it for you. That's how it works. It doesn't work any other way. And sin could not conquer him, and honey, sin cannot conquer you. The enemy tried every kind of plot and plan to destroy him before the time, and it didn't work. And honey, there's no plot or plan of the enemy that can destroy you either.
Amen.
So I know that sickness and disease had to try and attack him. I never read where he was ever sick once. That life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus kept his body well, and honey, that same life will keep your body well. Isn't that good stuff? It's good stuff, I'm telling you. So say it with me. Holiness is my choice now. I have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that has been delivered to me. I have been made free from sin. I'm not of the world. I'm born of God. I am righteousness and holiness itself. And I walk free from sin. I don't let sin reign in my mortal body. And I don't allow my body to be used in sin. My body is used for righteousness. Holiness is my choice. Righteousness was God's gift to me. Holiness is my gift back to Him. And it's my choice. See, that's the thing. And it is every time. It is every time. Now that's walking free from sin. Now let's talk about walking free from sickness and disease. I've got 15 minutes. So I'm not going to turn to the scriptures. We've been doing that a lot. Remember Luke 9:1? Where Jesus called the 12? And it plainly says he called, at first he starts with these 12. And it says he gave them power and authority. I love that verse because it has both. Exousia and dunamis. Power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And they go and they preach and they heal everywhere. They come back and they give the report. And praise God. That's not enough though. So Luke 10:1, then he sends out the 70. He gives them basically the same. And what's amazing, I said, we know the names of the ones in Luke 12. I think it's on purpose that God did not put the names of the 70 in there to help us understand. They're not in the fivefold as far as we know. They're not special. We don't know their names, whether they were apostle, prophet, pastor. No, I think it's on purpose left out. These are just believers. And notice he sends them out to do exactly the same thing that he sent the 12 out. In fact, I like how it's worded in a little later down in Luke 10, because that's the one where he says, in whatsoever city you enter, heal the sick that are therein. Man, how do you know which ones to heal? Are they therein? Do they live in the city where you went? Then the command is not pray for the sick. The command is heal the sick. So he sent out the 12. That wasn't enough. He sent out the 70. By the way, it worked for the 70. They come back just astonished. I mean, the way they say it to the Lord, it's almost like they're going, Lord, did you know? Even the devils are subject to us. Us. I'm doing it on purpose. Us. You. In thy name. Now, if you look up that word subject to, you'll find it a lot of places. Even those devils are subject to us. And the picture it draws is a slave having to bow and has no choice. Now, if you can ever get that image, that's who you already are. He has made you, he has given you power and authority over every devil. When you walk in and you use the name, they have to bow to you. The devils are subject unto us. That would be you. The church has got this mindset of,
I better dig a foxhole because the next attack is going to be really bad. I need to be ready for the next attack of the enemy. Oh, my, I survived that last attack. I barely made it. I don't know what's coming next. I better dig my ditch deep and better get supplies. And we had this defensive posture. And the truth of the matter is, the war has already been won. You're already the victor. Every devil is your slave. Ooh, that's a good sentence. I didn't have that. Every devil is your slave through his name. And they have to bow. They are subject to you. I love the way that's worded. They were astonished. Lord, do you know that those devils, I want to say it a little different, they had to bow to us and obey us in your name? He's going, yes, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I've been asking God, because John G. Lake has this phrase that he uses, the lightnings of God. I've been looking for it. I found it right there. When God gets into operation and the lightnings of God, that's, I think, when the real manifestations, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Gives me goosebumps. You are a master of devils. Instead of having that defensive posture, he is getting us out of our trenches. He's getting us out of our defensive camp and trying to get us to understand, can't you see I've already won the battle? I've already won the war. Now there's still some battles. We are the mop-up crew. And anywhere we go and we find devils possessing people, no matter what it is, unclean devils, deaf and dumb spirits, spirit of infirmity, I don't care what it is, who's supposed to be afraid is not you. Amen. Who's supposed to be afraid is that devil. Because they are subject to you in his name. So we have the 12. We know their names. Then we have the 70. We don't even know their names. And I think that's on purpose. But then in Mark 16, he brings it right down to you. He told the original ones, I want you to go everywhere. And I want you to preach this gospel. If you combine Matthew 28 with Mark 16, he said, everything that I taught you, I want you to go teach them. Isn't that right? In other words, make disciples. And don't just get them born again. Make disciples. A disciple is made in the master's image. You got that? That's what he's doing with you right now. With me right now. He's remolding our thinking. Remolding how we understand things. So that we get out of those defensive trenches. Pick up the weapons of war that he's given us. And we go forward to possess the land. In Jesus' name. And it's going to be Acts 10:38 in each individual case. How God anointed B of Tulsa. With the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with me. How Helena went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Helena. And you can put your name right in there. Those that believe. See, when he says, the first thing he says, in my name, they shall what? Cast out devils. That means he gave you authority and power over all devils. Amen. Otherwise, you can't cast them out. Amen. And the only requirement is that you believe it. Hallelujah. You've got to believe it. See? Thank God for praying in other tongues. We really have more than the disciples had. They didn't have a nature that could be taught. They didn't have the positional truth of death of their bodies. We do. And we got the Holy Ghost. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He will edify you and teach you and instruct you and get you built up to where you're a mountain moving champion everywhere you go. Then he gave us that truth of fasting. Your body really has already been declared dead. Now see, that has to be a positional truth, because have you noticed it'll sin if you let it? I'm not the only one that found that out. Okay, don't ask me how I found it out. You know how I found it out. But okay. So God had to... I mean, if it was really dead, our bodies would be laying on the floor somewhere. You'd be taking your dirt nap, as one guy said, but anyway. But see, it's a progression. First he sent out the 12, then he sent out the 70. But there at the last, he sent out all who would believe. And the first one, in my name, if they believe, they'll cast out devils. Now that means he gave you authority and power over every devil. They will lay hands, all the other stuff's in between there, but they will lay hands on the sick and they, what's that word? Shall. Is there any stronger word? It's not maybe, it's not like a good chance. They shall recover. Now does not that mean that he has given you, in that life that he imparted to you, dominion? Not only over sin, see, it starts with come out from among them. You have power over sin. You don't have to do it anymore. You're not a slave anymore. You're not the Romans 7 guy. You're the Romans 8 person now. First, you come out of sin. But now he's trying to get us to realize, that's part of it, thank God. He wants a people that can walk righteous and uprightly before him. But there's a lot of people dying of sickness and disease and torments and devils, and the church, for the most part, isn't doing a thing about it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all just don't know. Oh, they do. Okay, got real people. A doggone thing about it, I'm telling you. They're not doing a doggone thing about that. Well, that is about to change. Oh, I used to, when Dave would talk about emptying hospitals, I mean, I was like, I almost felt like, Pat, you're a good pastor. That's a nice thing to say. I'm telling you, it's getting so real in me. I'm going, which one's first? Like, where do we start? I think it's going to start in the homes. Be honest with you. I'm going to start there. I'm telling you, I'm seeing it's entirely possible. It's becoming more impossible that we can't. And why don't we just start with bed one? And when we finish, then the hospital, then we're done with that one. God will find them new jobs. I'm telling you, it's possible. And that's the gospel with signs and wonders that the whole world needs to see. There is no hope for our country. There's no hope for any country. There's no hope for this world except the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God for politicians, anyone that's really trying. I thank God for their best efforts, but that is not the answer. No. The gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the answer. Amen? And we're blessed and honored to be on the forefront. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to this year. Glory to God. All right. We're going to go ahead and start the confessions now. Say it with me one more time. Holiness is my choice. I am not a Roman 7 person anymore. I am not a slave to sin. God fixed the flaw that was in me. I don't have a sin nature anymore. I am a righteous tree. I am the planting of the Lord. I have been made free from sin. And in His name, He has given me authority and power over every devil. I am a devil master. They have to bow and do what I say when I speak in Jesus' name. And He gave me the power through that life in me and the Holy Ghost upon me to cure diseases. I've got the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. And we cure diseases the same way. I am the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. And we co-labor together to set the captives free. In Jesus' name, amen.